Okay, this is a question the crowd just shouted out. If you could have any superpower, what would you choose? What would you choose? Flying. That would be mine too. How about anybody else? What? Oh, teleportation. That's better than flying, I think, Ava. You know, there's no effort involved. You're just there and then there. Okay, that's good. I don't think anybody can top that. We're going to go with that. That's good. It sounds like Cynthia's thought about that before. Have you got one? To be not shy. There you go. That's okay. It's hard to talk in front of people. I prove that every Sunday. So my question sort of lends you to this story. It's about biblical characters that did super things. There's a danger in that. There's a danger in that we're elevating these people as better than they really were, and especially this first guy. So I'm going to talk about him later, about why we're cautionary. This is a cautionary tale. You don't want to pattern your life after Samson. There's a few things you do, but I'll point those out when we get there. But I have a fun memory wrestling with my dad. My sister and I would get some dad time, and he'd be on the floor. And now I think, oh my gosh, he was a good dad because I'm now the recipient of those jumping ons. So we'd do our best to pin him down, to help, you know, stop him from moving. We'd jump into, and then we'd get so hot and sweaty, we'd go grab a drink of water, and we'd drink from the cup, and we'd yell, "I'm Popeye the Sailor Man!" And, you know, we were drinking water, not spinach, so that was probably a problem. But you know, I'm strong to the finish when I eat my spinach. So we'd run back into the living room, jump onto the couch, top rope baby, you know, right onto his back. And we were much, much younger and much smaller, so that it didn't cause any harm. So fast forward several years later, I didn't rely on spinach to power up necessarily, but I found a new strength in wasting time in video games at MSU Union. There was a game called Galaga. Remember that? It's an old game. No matter what it took, I wanted to level up, and that spent a lot of time and a lot of quarters to do that because it wasn't very easy. So that's my welcome to this series called Level Up. In this series, we're going to combine the concept of leveling up in video games with some Bible stories about the different characters who found a way to do just that. Now, we're going to talk about five characters along the road, and I was, you know, encouraged to put this around my neck, but you'll notice the size of that. This is really a kid-friendly size, so I'm not putting it around my neck, but here's the representation of the five characters we're going to be talking about, and the kids will get one of those each a week with the workbook, and they all have those this morning. Video games are a huge part of our culture today. In 2022, the video game industry raked in $221 billion, and that's going to grow to $250 billion by the end of this year. It's incredible, isn't it? And so over the next 5 years, we're going to talk about stories about biblical characters who leveled up. And again, each week, the kids in the crowd will receive a tag representing that week's pixelated character with the level up phrase that matches the character. And you'll see, kids, if you flip that tag over, what the phrase is for this week, and we'll talk about that a lot, okay? Oh, you have it under your neck. See, that's the way it's supposed to be, right there. And if all goes well, we're going to discuss and challenge why we struggle to level up in our lives, okay? So, you ready? Let's start with one of my favorite superpowers and one of the most interesting Bible characters. I wouldn't necessarily say he's my favorite, but he's one of the most interesting, certainly, and that's Samson and his super strength. Samson was an incredibly strong man with an incredibly dangerously weak will. But in Samson's story, we'll find our big idea, and here it is. Super strength comes from God. So Judges 13 and 16, chapter 13 through chapter 16 is where we're going to spend the time today. And I'm not going to cover the entire story, so I encourage you to read this amazing account of a superpower this week. The book of Judges records cycles of God's chosen people loving God, leaning away from God, leaving God, and each time God provides a rescue to lead them back. Every time. Not just once, but many times they find themselves in this cycle. And it just tells you what patience God has. And if I'm to be honest, he's patient with them, but he's patient with me and with you. The Hebrew nation finds themselves in one of their cycles, okay? As they abandoned God, they were vulnerable for oppression and control by the Philistines. Say boo, boo, Philistines. But God provided a plan to redeem and restore a right relationship. So let's open up to the story in Judges 13. Again, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight, so the Lord handed them over to the Philistines, who oppressed them for 40 years. In those days, a man named Manoah from the tribe of Dan lived in the town of Zorah. His wife was unable to become pregnant, and they had no children. The angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah's wife and said, "Even though you have been unable to have children, you will soon become pregnant and give birth to a son." So, God called on this family, this particular family, to take a vow and provided a son who might be the hero of this story. The vow is known as a Nazarite vow. You can learn more about that vow in Numbers 6 if you want to look into that. But this is a vow for non-priests that would show their commitment to God. And the basic vows were this: don't drink wine, don't touch anything unclean, and don't cut your hair. There's a weird three rules, but those were the rules. What's with the hair, right? I did some research, and I was hoping that maybe this was the first mullet in history, but to no avail. No mullet mentioned in Hebrew. The long hair thing was an outward sign of an inward commitment. The benefit of keeping the vows was that Samson would be given amazing strength. His superpower was super strength. I believe that each of us has great strength, but I believe that too many of us miss out on a super strength because we try to do it all on our own, right? Okay, maybe that's just me. Why am I wired that way? I lean into this false sense of strength because I go at it alone. Has culture, especially the American culture, just taught me to get mine, to work hard, to earn your reward? If you're like me and have found yourself thinking you have a super strength all on your own and are missing the strength that God has given you, you may have uttered these phrases. These phrases should be warning signals in your life. And the first one is, I want it. That was Samson's downfall. That's been my downfall. One day when Samson was in Timnah, one of the Philistine women caught his eye. When he returned home, he told his father and mother, "A young Philistine woman in Timnah caught my eye. I want to marry her. Get her for me." Okay, see what I mean about this? Maybe isn't the nicest guy in the world, because I don't think any of my grandchildren talk to their kids, to their parents that way. But Timnah is in Philistine territory. It's 4 miles from Samson's village of Zorah. This wasn't a group of people that shared his family's beliefs, okay? We already booed for the Philistines, remember that part? God had some warnings to his people about marrying outside the tribe, so to speak. But Samson didn't ask, and seems that he doesn't care what God has to say. He's not thinking of what was wise or what is good for me. He wants it. So, Dad, go get it for me. Oh, look at that. I want that. That new pair of Skechers. I know. You don't want Skechers. I do. I want that newest phone, or I want that new Google gadget. Oh, maybe you say, I want a, you know, whatever it is. I want, fill in the blank. I've been caught up in that mindset, want it mindset, and very rarely, if ever, lines up with what God has in mind for me. Maybe you've experienced this warning signal, and maybe this is another one that you've experienced when you say, I deserve it. You ever get those moments, my pizza's cold, doggone it, I deserve better than that. I work hard, I deserve a promotion. It's fascinating to me that God's great love gives us what we need, not what we deserve. There's a famous man that was dying, and they said to him, "Now you'll get what is yours, what you deserve." He says, "Oh, please, Lord, no. Don't give me what I deserve." That was his last words. "Don't give me what I deserve." So I have brief moments when I think I'm good. Then in an instant, I'm filled with envy and jealousy and unkindness or selfishness, and so much that I know I don't deserve His grace. My heart, apart from Him, is wicked. These moments help me realize that I don't deserve anything, but I'm given grace in everything. So, back to our story. While Samson was leaving Timnah, he was attacked by a lion. Okay, this isn't a little lost little cat along the road. This is not a meow. This is a grrr. The Spirit of the Lord came to Samson, and he used his amazing strength to tear the lion apart. He continues home. He leaves the lion on the side of the road, then started his journey back to Timnah for what he wanted. And the story continues later, when he returned to Timnah for the wedding, he turned off the path to look at the carcass of the lion, and he found that a swarm of bees had made some honey in the carcass. He scooped some of the honey into his hands and ate it along the way. He also gave some to his father and mother, and they ate it. They didn't tell them he had taken the honey from the carcass of the lion. Oh, boy. Remember the vows? Uh-oh. Do not drink wine. Okay, you didn't do that. Do not cut your hair. Okay, you didn't do that. Do not touch dead things. Oh, boy. He did. I mean, really. He broke a vow to God for a handful of honey. He was most likely saying, I did this. I made this happen because of my bravery, my strength. This lion is here because of me. I deserve this. This has played out around me in many ways. Do you ever have a hard time sharing? I think my first words were not mama or daddy. My first words were mine. I didn't want to share willingly. My parents had to make me share with my sisters. When I was in school, I did not study really hard. I know, you're shocked. But I caught myself saying, I work hard for good grades. I might have to cheat a little to keep them. I deserve this. I've heard people say, I know that finances are tight and we're on the brink of bankruptcy, but I work hard. I deserve this boat. Instead of providing or being generous, we get caught up on what I deserve. One last voice I've heard too often that has set off warning signals in my brain is, I can handle it. Oh, sorry, I left you the carcass of the lion there. I can handle it. Samson is pretty confident, pretty cocky, really full of himself. Pride comes before the fall. The story continues. As his father was making final arrangements for the marriage, Samson threw a party at Timnah, and was the custom of elite young men. So Samson throws a feast. In the Hebrew, it's called a mishta. It's a common feast. It's a party that celebrates a life event. So Samson throws himself a bachelor party. Bring out the kegs, bring on the party. Oh, wait, this wasn't part of his vows either. But I can handle it. I can quit at any time. I know that I talk bad about other people at school. I know it's not right, but I can quit any time. I can handle it. I can give it up. I can turn it around. I'm strong. I want it. I deserve it. I can handle it. Warning signals should be going off everywhere when we hear these things. God wants healthy relationships. God puts limits on our lives that promote these healthy relationships with Him and with others. My pride has caused me to work around God's plans to do my own. Samson went 10 rounds with his pride. Maybe you've seen some of the same patterns. The signals go off, and now we have a good question. How do we level up? Instead of thinking that I can do this all on my own, say this instead. Super strength comes from God. I know that's a churchy kind of thing to say, but it is, in Samson's case, where the super strength came from, and in our case, where it comes from. Level up. Maybe another way to say it would be, when I am weak, God is strong. That activates our superpowers. There's something about admitting that we need God. If you let your needs drive you to God, God will meet your deepest needs. So the story continues with Samson as he's a roller coaster of good and bad choices. I challenge you to read these things for yourself. Just suffice it to say, we've made a lot of these R-rated things into PG-13. It's just not all pleasant, okay? But real quickly, let me summarize some of the things. Please know that God is a God that longs to bring order to chaos. Okay, just keep that in mind. Man, in this case Samson, produces chaos when he's left to his own, right? And as parents, we can find these stories maybe a little hard to explain. Why did God allow this? How do we use this story to bring us closer to God? I thought God wants us to love our enemies. In my poor choices, I will have natural consequences. People are messy. God finds ways to use our mess. God works in a broken world. His goal is to free his people. But when I surrender to God, God does his best work. Again, super strength comes from God. Before the wedding, Samson's hanging with 30 Philistine men. He throws out a riddle. Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. For 3 days, they could not give the answer. There's a wager. Answer it in 7 days, or the loser has to provide 30 sets of clothes to the winner. A weird bet, but that's what the bet was. The Philistines threaten Samson's wife to get to the answer. And she gives it up. And Samson loses the bet. He now has to find 30 sets of clothing. I'm telling you to read the details in the story because he does pay his debt by finding 30 men and he kills them all for their clothes. Okay, well, you paid off your bet, I guess. He doesn't stop there. He ties hundreds of foxes together by the tail and places a lit torch between them. As they run through the Philistine fields, destruction is the result. Anybody getting uncomfortable here? Come on. Come on, Samson. Quit doing it your way. Level up, right? He did not admit his need for God. He's quickly back into fighting his battles his way. Finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. Then Samson said, "With a donkey's jawbone, I have made donkeys of them. With a donkey's jawbone, I have killed 1,000 men." He was so full of pride that he brags about killing 1,000 men and making donkeys out of them. A man's pride is always, always born out of his insecurity. So what's the deal with Samson? Maybe it's an opportunity to elevate our own lives. What keeps us from experiencing all that God wants for us? Pride? Or fear? Or insecurity? We want to prove ourselves. I get that. We don't know how to receive help. How can we level up? Samson finally seems to come to his end. He runs in fear to the desert and needed water. He feels like his life is over. There's no hope. I'm so thirsty. I think I'm going to die. Is this the end? Here we go. Because he was very thirsty, what did he do? He cried out to the Lord, "You have given your servant this great victory. Must I not die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?" Then God opened up the hollow place in Lehi, and water came out of it. When Samson drank, his strength returned, and he revived. Samson leveled up. He's finally getting a hold of the big idea that his super strength came from God. Now, seems like he might have learned some good and right things out of that little episode. He's on the right track, right? The story tells us that Samson leveled up. There was 20 years of peace. 20 years of prosperity, relative freedom among the Israelites. Looks like he put his problems behind him. Maybe he just ignored them or covered them up. The saga continues. Samson once again makes some horrible choices. Sorry, we're back to bad Samson. He wanders out of town to find companionship. Where does he go? Gaza. This was Philistine headquarters. This was public enemy number one. It was 25 miles from Samson's home in Zora, so this was an intentional choice. He didn't just stumble onto this. It's crazy to think about how far he traveled, looking for his own desires to be filled. While in Gaza, Samson lay there only until the middle of the night, and then he got up and took the doors of the city gate and ripped them off the hinge and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. These gates at the main entrance were 700-pound doors. This is no quiet act. This act was about destroying the symbol of security for the Philistines. Not sure this is what God had in mind. I'm betting not. But God was so patient with Samson. And then we go to another story. You may have heard of this one before. He meets a woman named Delilah. She tricks Samson to reveal the secret. Samson leads her on a goose chase. He says it takes 7 fresh straps of new ropes. Wink. I mean, 7 braids of my hair and fabric tightened with a pin. Wink. Then she said to him, "How can you say I love you when you won't confide in me?" This is how Delilah talked, I think. "This is the 3rd time you've made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength." With such nagging, she prodded him to the day after day until he was tired to death. It's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Samson gives up the secret. It does not turn out well. The strength is in my hair. Is it really? Well, the Philistines cut his hair. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding in the prison. Now, this might be the end of Samson. Then Samson remembers he is called to deliver people. He is called by God. He is stirred by the Spirit. He has a moment of humility. And he remembers the source of his super strength, his hair's growing back. But that's not it. Without God, there's no strength. Without God, there's no victory. Without God, Samson is nothing. Samson is flawed. He is not the superhero. God is the superhero. Samson shows me a valuable lesson. I am not called to feel sorry for myself. I cannot change my past. I can control 2 things, my thoughts and my actions. I can change my future by doing that, but I cannot do it alone. I have proven that I am weak to the trappings of this world. Even in our failures, God can still accomplish his purposes. That's what I learned from the story of Samson. Even in our failures, God still accomplishes his purposes. When I am weak, God is strong. Super strength comes from God. So are you ready to level up? Are you all in? Samson has one last moment to listen to God and to be obedient. He finally levels up for the last time. He sacrifices himself for the greater good. He is taken to the temple in Gaza. It is filled with Philistines. Samson said to the servant who held his hand, "Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple so that I may lean against them." Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "O sovereign God, so sovereign Lord, remember me. O Lord, O God, please strengthen me just once more." It's never too late to do what God wants you to do. God is patient. Samson, to let you know, did not have the purest motives in this. You're going to find that out in just a second. Didn't have the purest motives in that prayer. But God can restore. Failure does not count you out. Then pushed with all his might, and down came the temple and the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than when he lived. Don't get lost in the loss of life. That's ugly. That's an ugly story. The point of this story, though, is not death. Please see the sacrifice to self that was made by Samson. It's less about the destruction and more about the devotion. I believe that God is calling every one of us that will hear his voice to do something. I'm positive of that. The thing that we are called to do will most likely involve loving other people, almost always. That's the best way to accomplish God's greatest desire. All people would be with God. That's my desire. The good news is that we do not have to do it all on our own. We can't run into the kitchen, drink a glass of water, and shout, "I'm Popeye the Sailor Man." We need God. We can level up. I have found that keeping some words in places that I can see them helped me realize that I'm not alone, and that's why we did this. That's why we put this on the back of the tags, that super strength comes from God. Okay. So here's my, what should have been the, maybe the warning at the beginning or the explanation of why we used Samson at the beginning, but I knew you could handle it. So let me just say, why did we choose Samson? We chose Samson because he represents the human condition. So this story is more about God than what we do to level up. If God can use Samson in his grace, wow, can he use me? Can he use you? As we see the high body count at the end of Samson's life, I mean a lot of bodies, okay? God doesn't celebrate that. So Jesus came and showed us that he's the only body that counts for help as we level up. His body was sacrificed. The one body is the important body in the story. Paul tells us in Ephesians, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength, oh no. He's talking to the Corinthians there. Oh, now let's talk to the Ephesians first, then we'll talk to the Corinthians. Okay, and he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That was written after Samson lived, but that would have been a good one for him to have on his bathroom mirror, right? Or maybe 2 Corinthians. Read this one with me. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in what? In weakness. Those give me hope after reading those horrible stories that we can be reminded of Samson's poor choices. Who's the real hero in the story? Well, you know, it's God. And with God, we can level up. How can you do that? Well, I know that my kids prayed out loud with their kids. That's a healthy thing to do. If you're around little ones or just around your family, pray out loud with each other. As kids are going back to school, how can you seek God for strength to get through the school year? Or maybe for you parents and grandparents, your work day? Or just even the challenges of family life? Make time for honest discussion for times when you really need to summon God's strength. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you that you are the real superhero in each one of the stories that we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks. But today in particular, we celebrated a man that was imperfect, but that you used to show us your perfectness. So that we use the danger phrases of I want that, I deserve that, or I can do that on my own. That we take a step back and realize that it's only through you that we can level up to the next power level, whatever that power may be that you have selected for us. Bless each person that hears these words as we continue to worship in Jesus' name. Amen.